Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Go sell all that you have and follow me. It is easier for a camel to slip through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. It's easy for us, is it not, sometimes to kind of go, yeah, at those kind of passages? Because we don't consider ourselves to be one percenters, to be rich. But that misses the whole meaning of the text. And besides that, it's not true. Literally and spiritually. Literally, I mean, I'll do a quick survey. How many of you have a car in your family? How about one that runs? You are now in the world's top 5% of wealth. Seriously. How many of you get to choose what you're going to eat for lunch today? Or are you even going to have lunch? We are rich material. Let's not argue the point. We may not rank on the Forbes list. I don't think we'll ever get near the Forbes list. Don't want to get near the Forbes list. But we are, most of us, moved beyond needs into wants. And if we're on the want level, we are rich material in this world, so these words apply to us. But it's also wrong because it misses the meaning of the text to just kind of pound on other people for their wealth, or to pound on people as though you were somehow superior to them. Remember a couple weeks ago when I was here, and I preached a little bit about Jesus as sort of being, you know, a stand-up comedian. Someone who says something that sort of stops you and stops you in your path in order to get you to go down another way, to rechange the whole agreement. You know, remember me talking about that. Well, this is another one of those cases in a sense. Hear those words again. Sell everything you have. That got his attention pretty quick, didn't it? It's easier to go through for a camel than go through the eye of a needle. It is that exaggeration that you can't ignore, which Jesus' humor is always very good at. It makes you stop and go, what? And look at the situation again. Because Jesus is talking about a very great danger here that we all face. And that is of our possessions possessing us. You know? And before we deny it, we all do live by the creed. We may say that about it, of the Pink Floyd song, Money. They say that money is the root of all evil today, but you notice no one's giving it away. We like our possessions. I got 3 cars. Who am I to talk to anyone else about possessions? Come on. You know, I have more than I need. I've been on wants for a long time in life. So, I need to be careful of these things too, because sometimes we put priorities on our possessions. You know, we have to guard them, protect them, take care of them, and they begin to get bigger than life. I mean, I'm not asking anyone to go steal stuff, but when you shoot someone for stealing your TV, what does that say about your priorities in life? You know, think about it. Sometimes we get so wound up in what we have that we lose sight of our real true perspective in life. And I think that's what this lesson is all about. It's sort of stopping us and getting us to go in a different direction than one. None of us can live up to that. And that's the point. The disciples finally got something right. This story is this. Because, you see, the problem is that a lot of people in Jesus' time, like a lot of people today, believe in the prosperity gospel. That is, if you're good and good to God, you'll be rich. That is not in the Bible. God promises to make us rich, not in possessions, but in relationships and caring for one another. God promises to give us what we need, not necessarily what we want. And that's true for all of us. And it is so easy to get down that rabbit hole. You get one of something, you want to have two. You got it, you got to take care of it. You got to protect it. You're afraid people are going to steal it. And before you know it, you're wrapped up where you no longer own or control your possessions. They control you. And that takes us away from the way God intends us to live life. We look at life from a different perspective. Almost from a sense of privilege, if I may use a word it's bounded about now, because that really is. We act like we're better than others because we have more stuff, or maybe we didn't get as much trouble with the law, or whatever that kind of thing is along the way. And it gets us going the wrong way. I told Glenn I was going to do this, so he's ready for this one. This reminds me, last weekend, I was busy doing recertification for my medical training for ski patrol. And one of the things we do, learn how to operate, is a defibrillator. Are you familiar with a defibrillator? Do you know what it really does? It literally sends electrical current that stops the heart. And you apply that to someone when the current they're under between the two parts of the heart doesn't allow them to communicate properly. They got out of rhythm and they're not really pumping the blood, and you can die. And what it does is it stops that. That you can reset, the heart can reset, hopefully, or else they'll give you some medications to help you reset it so you can start beating in a rhythm that actually works. This is what Jesus is doing this day. He knows that we're getting so wrapped up in ourselves, in our possessions, and our self-privilege, that we're getting a heart that isn't beating, not with true love and grace. And God stops it with these words and asks us to look again at grace. Because if we cannot save ourselves, which this passage is very clear about, then we all are dependent on God's salvation. In other words, it's not about us, or the cars we have, or the clothes we wear, or the number of things we've accumulated. It's about God's mercy and grace that not only gave us those possessions, but gave us what's more important, a relationship with God and one another. I still hope we've not forgotten the lessons of this pandemic. We're not through it yet, first off, but I hope we never forget them. But for me, anyway, one of the lessons I learned is just how valuable we are to each other. I miss community. I miss the sharing and the times together. I miss being with family and friends. Maybe that was a bit like a little defibrillator shock to me. And maybe for you too, to remind us that those things cannot replace the people and the relationships and the work of God among us. Martin Luther, I've said to you this before, you can probably quote it back to me, but that's good if you've learned this one. The last thing he ever wrote was found the morning after he died in his sleep. The last thing he wrote down is, "We are most certainly all beggars." And based on what Luther taught, what he meant by that is that none of us can approach God. We don't come to this table because of what we've done. We've not earned the right to be here. Like beggars, we've been blessed and gifted. Now think about a great gift that you've got. Maybe that Christmas when you asked for A and you got a really good present. Where are you going, "Oh, I really thought I was going to get that. I'm not happy getting something I didn't expect." No. When you get something that's really good, don't you get excited about it? Doesn't it make you happy? It should also make you want to share your blessings with others. And that's the reset that this lesson is trying to get us to recognize, that we are rich in talents, skills, relationships, a community that we can draw on. Rich that money can't buy those things. You can kind of emulate them, but he really can't buy them. And God keeps blessing us, all of us, so that we're not better than other people. There's no this. In God's eyes, there's this. All of us, like beggars, receive grace and goodness, just like we're going to see bread and wine in a few minutes. It's a symbol that we're all people who should be excited, happy, about the opportunity to share those good things, rather than get so caught up in trying to protect and keep what we think we've earned. Everything is a blessing from God. And if we looked at things like that, I know it's hard, I have trouble doing it. If we could just occasionally start counting our blessings, as the old saying went, really meaning our blessings, not the toys we have or the things we have, but the relationships and the good life that we have the privilege to live, that our needs are met, why should we not be excited and share with each other? That was the complaint God had against the people in the Old Testament. He had blessed them richly, and they were cheating the poor out of what they had. You want to get in trouble with God in the Bible, cheat the poor. God has a very strong sense of anger at those who think we are more deserving of things than others. The gift of the gospel is that all of us have been blessed in order that we all might be a blessing to others. So this day, let these lessons serve not as a pain, as a shock, to make us stop and realize how really, truly rich we are, and share that richness with each other. Amen.